From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. Over the summer, inflation reached a 40-year high here in the United States. And as the rate of inflation continues to go up, so do prices at places like the grocery store and for other day-to-day staples. Experts at the Federal Reserve and elsewhere are trying to actually bring that rate down. Mary C. Daly is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. Part of her job is helping to set America's monetary policy. And over the last 4 years in this job, Daly has been working to connect economic principles to concerns in the real world. Daly dropped by Boise State University for a talk and to chat with folks here in Idaho. And she has joined us now to talk about her trip to the Gem State and about the state of the economy. Mary, thanks so much for taking some time today.
Oh, my complete pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's just start with the basics. What is inflation?
So inflation is the rate of price increases on all the goods and services that we use on a monthly basis, yearly basis. It's basically how quickly are your prices rising? And it's painful right now because prices for everything, as you mentioned, are rising rapidly.
So why is inflation so high right now in the United States?
There are really two factors pressing on it. You know, if you think of inflation at any point in time, it's really demand is outstripping supply. Demand has been supported by a variety of factors, including fiscal and monetary policy stimulus that helped us get through the pandemic. Then we had strong consumer spending based on household savings and a strong labor market that puts pressure on demand. There's also just this reopening phenomena of people just being constrained for a long time and now going out and wanting to do things. And that is a strength of our economy, but it's meeting very constrained supply. And that supply is constrained because, you know, globally, people are still struggling with COVID. China is actually in partial lockdown right now. They produce a lot of goods, so we get those goods less quickly or not at all. Then, of course, the war in Ukraine has been disrupting food and energy supplies, which make prices of those items very high. So, you know, our researchers judge that about 50% of the excess inflation we see is demand driven and 50% is supply driven. But it collides to just make consumers and businesses pay higher prices month after month.
And I think it's fair to note that we're seeing this across the globe. In fact, there was a report out just recently that inflation hit a record of 10% in 19 EU countries. So Mary, this is kind of a global phenomenon that we're seeing right now.
It's absolutely a global phenomenon because the same things that happened here in the United States happened everywhere. We did better at supporting demand as nations across the globe than we did at making sure supply could survive through the pandemic unscathed. And then the war in Ukraine just put additional pressure on that. Mm. I mean, what we found from the pandemic is we have a lot of interest in being part of the economy and being out there, but the supply has just been not very resilient. And whether that's supply of labor or supply chains or global shipping lanes, they're all very fragile relative to maybe what people expected. And I think it's been a shock to the system globally, but it's also left a wake of inflation.
So let's take it back here to the United States. The Federal Reserve raised the interest rate again this month by 0.75 percentage point. How will that help actually fight inflation?
Sure. So as I mentioned, half of the inflation roughly that we see is driven by excess demand, more demand than we usually have and certainly more than we can support right now. And so when we raise the interest rate, it makes all interest rates across the spectrum go up, all costs for borrowing. And the most immediate place you see it is in the very interest sensitive sector of housing. And so you raise the interest rate, we do, mortgage interest rates go up, they're printing at 6.7% as of this week. And that slows demand for housing because people say, well, it's more costly to borrow. I don't necessarily want to buy my house, or I don't want to sell my house because I don't have to buy another one. And that slows housing demand. When housing demand slows, it becomes easier to meet supply. And importantly, this filters through to rental price inflation. And here in Boise, I hear again and again and again, the housing market was frenetic and frothy. And many people who were living in Idaho their whole lives couldn't afford to buy a home because coastal people were moving in during the pandemic and bidding up the prices. And so we're seeing some relaxation of that. And that just makes a more sustainable picture for us going forward. And that's what the Federal Reserve's policies do. We slow the economy, bring it back to a sustainable pace, and then people don't have to worry about inflation morning, noon, and night.
So the Fed has signaled that it will keep raising interest rates. So do we know how high that will potentially go?
Well, what we know is it needs to be higher than it is right now. And that's because we need to put policy into what we will call a restrictive stance. And I just think of it as the difference in, you know, just being neutral. We're neither stimulating or bridling back the economy versus we need to pull back on the reins a bit on the economy, because that will bring demand back to a sustainable pace and it'll be better able to be met with supply. So that means the interest rate has to rise a little higher than it is now. And you know, the projections that we just made at the last FOMC meeting we had said that we could get up as high as a little bit over 4% this year. And I didn't think there's any reason to change those projections right now. But the most important thing I want all your listeners to know is that the Fed is never on a preset course where we're going to do this no matter what. We always take incoming information. We look at how much the economy is slowing. What is inflation evolving to? What are the global risks out there? We put those things together and we call this data dependence. And we make a decision based on the incoming information and what we think the information in the future is going to look like.
So besides higher interest rates, in your opinion, what else needs to happen in order to slow inflation?
Well, really, the supply chains also need to recover and global supply needs to recover. And for there, you know, those are risks that they seem to be getting a little better. If you go to the ports on the coast, you know, I have 9 states in the western U.S. And if you go to the coastal cities of my district, the 12th district, you see the port backlogs declining. You see trucking improving. So that's going to release some pressure on distribution networks. But we're also really reliant on China getting its COVID situation under better control so that they can continue to keep their factories open. Because if China, one of the factories in China closes, even for a couple of days, then that spills over into all the goods and services that we use that we don't even think of. The little, you know, little components come from China, and that's a backlog that then, you know, moves its way through the system and causes high inflation. So we're seeing some brighter spots in those areas, but we haven't seen full relief. And then, of course, getting our labor force participation rate maybe back up to where it was before will be critical to getting some relaxation on the pressure that firms are feeling in the labor market, getting more people to work. But that's something that I also see happening is people are less afraid about their health and just schooling's more consistent and people can send their kids to school and not worry about being home. Then you'll see more people, I think, come back to work.
So how is the U.S. economy right now? Because, you know, there are talks of a recession.
You know, it's interesting. There are a lot of conversations about recession, but there's little evidence we're in a recession. And when I think about that, you know, I have this statistic I always look at about how many jobs are we creating in the United States per month? Well, we're creating well over 300,000 jobs per month in the U.S., and we only need 100,000 jobs to keep the unemployment rate completely steady with no change. So we're adding more jobs than we need to keep the unemployment rate constant. And that means there are always these vacancies that employers can't fill. So that doesn't feel like a recession. That feels like a strong labor market. The main problem out there is that inflation is too high. So anywhere I go in the 12th district, talk to people anywhere, and I heard this, I've been here in Boise for 3 days, and every single person I talk to reminds me that workers are hard to find, jobs are easy to find, and inflation is too high.
So with that said, you know, Mary, we talk a lot about rates and trends, but if you are a parent, you know, or a caregiver, and you are trying to buy butter and bread for your kids, both of these items have shot up dramatically in price lately. You know, economic theory, inflation, all of that doesn't really matter in the sense that you are trying to feed your family. And I know that one of your goals has been to better connect economic principles to these real world concerns that people have. So how are you trying to do that, you know, in this economy? And basically, I think too, bring down all of this high level talk so that people understand what is actually happening and why.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that question. I mean, the tragedy of inflation, and it is a tragedy, is that it steals people's lives and livelihoods. Real wages, you know, people are getting wage increases, and we say, oh, wow, mm-hmm. workers are getting wage increases. Must be a great time to be a worker. It is not a good time to be a worker. Earnings have fallen, real earnings adjusted for inflation have fallen 9% on average in the last 2 years. And then if you think about people who spend a lot of their budget on basic necessities, gas, food, and shelter, they are really making those decisions, those trade-offs. You know, I talked with a mom in our district just about 3-4 weeks ago, and she told me that it really is about school clothes or gas for her. And she's trying to get fewer school clothes. Her kids will wear the same things they wore last year. They'll trade down. And that way she put gas in the car so she can continue to work, because she has to drive to work, so she can buy something down the road. And this is why inflation matters. This is why it makes our economy fragile. And it is actually, you know, the way I think of it, it breaks the basic American commitment that if you work hard, do everything you're supposed to do, you can have lives and livelihoods that grow and are stable. And this inflation is stealing those, which is why I get out of the models. I'm not thinking about anything but the people we serve, and the people we serve in many ways are suffering. So that's why the Fed is so committed to bringing inflation down, because people should not have to think about it each and every day. And they certainly shouldn't have to make the trade-offs that you just said. You shouldn't have to worry about your children getting, you know, bread and butter.
You're so right. And I think too, even those of us who have much more privilege, there is still sticker shock. I mean, even every time I go to the gas pump, I mean, I'm blown away by the prices. And I think that, you know, it impacts everyone.
It does. And it's insidious. When it starts, you know, I gave a talk at Boise State, as you mentioned, and I talked about the insidiousness of inflation, that it chips away, right? It's sticker shock, but then you're also realizing, oh, I just spent a lot more for gas. So that's fewer dollars I can spend on other things. And it makes people think twice. And it actually gets into decision making. And one of the real things, and I see this when I go out and talk to lots of young people are struggling because they can't really afford gas, food, and rent, and then also the cost of college or a certificate program. And so we see them dropping out. And we see students making decisions to delay their education, maybe stall it out altogether so that they can make ends meet. So these are long-lasting effects that go beyond just today. They actually will persist beyond when we've already gotten inflation down. So there's two things to the job that I'm trying to do. One is get inflation down, and the other is do it as quickly as possible without derailing the economy.
Before I let you go, what would be your last thoughts, words of advice, just, you know, for people who are struggling, or even for all of us who frankly are just, you know, looking at all of the prices going up and wondering, when is this going to stop?
So this is what I'd like to leave everyone with, is that I realize that I cannot take the pain of sticker shock at the gas pump or the trade-offs that people have to make. I know that people are making those trade-offs and they're managing with their families. So what I want to say is we are committed. The Federal Reserve stands, we're united, we're focused on that goal of bringing inflation down, and we're literally doing everything that we can, as quickly as we can, to ensure that inflation is not the thing that people worry about. And I know people are struggling now, but relief is coming, and we are committed to delivering it.
I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you having me on. It's really been a great conversation. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. We've been talking with Mary C. Daly, the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, talking about the state of the economy right now and her recent visit to Boise. And that'll do it for this episode of Idaho Matters. I want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Gemma Gaudette. Samantha Wright is our senior producer, and our associate producer is Hannah Gardosky. Idaho Matters is a podcast from Boise State Public Radio.